Very well then. Very well then. Well, I am currently sitting here with Eric and Sam from the New Bomb Turks,
and Matt too, and Jim.
Matt and Jim are at points beyond the microphone right now, but they'll be in here soon enough.
Yes.
Well, first of all, thank you guys for coming down here. This is a real pleasure for you to be appearing on my radio show here. You know, it was a great goal of mine, having followed you guys for a long time since the a lovely wee wee colored split 45 with a band called Gaunt showed up in my mailbox about what was that like going on 10 years ago now, right?
Yeah, back then my goal was to eventually sleep with Rose McGowan, and I still haven't reached it.
You gotta aim high.
You do have to aim high.
And keep working towards those goals. So tell us about this this swing through the New York City area here. I remember the first time you came up to New York, I believe, was an ill-fated CBGB's performance during the CMJ Festival with the Henry Rollins Band making a surprise appearance on the bill and making me a very angry young man.
Not so ill-fated. And in my book, at least personally, it's one of my favorite shows we ever had.
Really?
Because what happened was it was a Thrill Jockey, Scat Records, Crypt night.
It is what is now referred to in the local history books as the Ohio Invasion Show. I'll have you know.
Local history books.
It's true. I don't lie. I can't make this stuff up.
So I was we were expecting the worst because
we lost that war.
Well, yeah. The Rollins Band at the last minute decided that they were in town practicing up for some tour and they would do this surprise gig thing at CBGB's. So like the first of what, six bands or something?
No, that was 60 bands.
60 bands.
In fact.
Didn't go on until 10 or something. And I thought, man, no one's going to stick around. It was Guided by Voices' first out-of-town show, whatever, or...
No, their first show in 5 years, first out-of-town show, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, wow, this is, you know, amazing. They were really good. Gaunt was great. Prison Shake was good. All these good bands.
Zipgun, right? Yeah, also.
Zipgun was all right. Yep. Gorilla was, yeah.
Right, right.
Soul Vandals were okay, but we don't get on until like,
that was like 6 in the morning, wasn't it?
It was actually 3 days later. No, it was about 3 o'clock, and sure enough, the place was still packed, and it was a ball, and it was really great. Made me feel cool that people would stick around that late. Or then you start to think, well, maybe they're just really, really drunk. Anyway, go on to more modern Groups Modern.
Yes, more Groups Modern. What I was leading up to is I understand that now, speaking of the Crypt Records days, you've got some nice reissues happening of your first records, now regarded as garage punk classics, as I believe the saying goes.
Yes. They're coming out on 180-gram vinyl.
Which, how many more grams is that than your average piece of
vinyl?
Well,
if you make it 360-gram, it turns all the way around to normal gram,
nice.
Whatever that is. So we stopped at 180, so it wasn't... I don't know what the...
Yeah, Crypt is reissuing limited to 500 copies on 180-gram vinyl of our first two records on Crypt, and than I think some Gory's records, some Devil Dogs records.
Nice. Yeah. The classics.
Deluxe packaging.
As it were.
Geared towards the new garage fans.
Yes, that's
who probably don't have turntables.
This new garage scene they're talking about.
Are you guys still a part of that?
Were you ever? The old guard.
Oh, I see.
No, we always talk about how we never really like we. Well, when the garage scene was actually really going through, like, you know, 94 to the end of the 90s or whatever, and with Crypt and Estrus and Sympathy and Get Hip and all those labels that are never mentioned in any of these articles, we always felt like we weren't, you know, we didn't have the right Beatle boots for the whole Estrus crowd.
And yeah, the kind of shag haircut thing got a little overblown.
We played a little too fast for that, but then we played too slow for hardcore fans, and we weren't. You know, we're from Ohio, which always seems to throw people off when you're around. I don't know why. So we always felt like we didn't really fit into much of anything, really.
Which isn't such a bad thing.
Besides our pants, and even that's hard to do.
So what about the new record? You guys got a new record on the Gearhead label. This is the night before, the day after the Earth Stood Still, and this was recorded at home.
You actually added a word to the title because it's not long enough.
What did I say?
After, and I think you threw the word Schwanz and Axis of Evil.
Unfortunately,
in there too.
Reading not my strong point. But this recorded at home. Understand for the first time, right? You guys did this back in Columbus. Are you guys still based in Columbus, or have you moved to LA yet?
We live in L.A. now.
Nice. I could tell.
We flew back to Columbus.
We live in L.A., Louisiana.
And so,
the swamps of Louisiana, so we could get swampier and more garagey and more bluesy.
Trying to cater to the modern interests.
Modern,
I understand.
Modern.
Understood. Well, what about the new record? You tell me about this thing. Is this doing well? Are you getting good feedback on this?
Sam, how's the feedback?
I think they shipped 250,000. And
in the first week.
There's like 5,000 left.
And
of course.
Very nice.
There were 249,900 sent back.
Great feedback.
The feedback's been...
I mean, it just came out.
I haven't read too many reviews. So I don't know what people are writing about. But like people I talk to seem to like it. So
What's your press like? I mean, who are like the magazines covering you guys now? Are you getting like, you know, real...
Whenever you see a review of Clinic, our review is right next to it.
Sassy.
If Sassy was around, we'd be a cover story. Right. I'm sorry about the swear word.
It's all right. You're just going to hear a lot of backwards masking when this actually airs.
That's so awesome.
Can you make it go backwards like a rap song?
In fact, that's exactly awesome. What I plan to do.
Awesome.
All right, come on.
Man, go that's easy. Amazing.
You know, this will air sometime in 2004.
No, the reviews have been cool. The reviews have been very kind. We had a really bad one, and we had a bad review up in Cleveland, which is where most of us, all of us are from except Sam. But we had I saw a bad review up there, maybe one other. But for the most part, it's like the older fans that expect you to do all the faster songs. Some of them are thrown a bit off. But for the most part, the reviews have been pretty cool.
You guys still seem to get a lot of that. I noticed at the Maxwell show this week, there's always a couple of banana heads in the crowd who are yelling out. They want to hear, you know, I want to hear Last Fight. That was the those guys kept yelling for.
Yeah, and darn it, we did it.
But, and you did it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you always...
Has that changed over the years? I remember, you know, 10 years ago, it was people want to hear Mr. Suit and, you know, and so forth. And now it's it hasn't changed. That's still a reality.
Makes you wonder about poor boy George, you know, when he goes around to disco clubs, he's trying to DJ and mix all that fantastic music, and they keep asking for Karma Communion.
Yeah, that's got
to
be rough.
I feel for that guy, man. I really genuinely feel for boy George.
Understood. Well, now, what's the story? I've been hearing, you know, not to put the cart before the horse or anything, but I've been hearing these rumors.
About rumors?
I've been hearing the rumors.
The cart before the horse?
Yes, he's gay.
Yes, it's true, and that's why I like to put the horse right in front of the cart. I get a nice shot of that horse's beep, you know, every time we...
Nice.
Every time we drive in the cart, we get to see the horse's I'm not sure what you mean.
Just, you know, like the impending packing it in, you know,
these are
things that I've heard. No,
impending. Well, we are going to go out tonight after this little taping session. We hope to pack it in at some point. Yes, we're just
taking your lead there.
We're good, thank you. We're not necessarily going to completely pack it in. I gotta call it something else. We're hoping to pack it in on a consistent basis. If you could only pack it in over and over and over again. Well, you can take your sword and move on the ship.
Yeah. remember it was actually real cool. Something you used to do. I don't know if it still goes on, but you used to do a little mailing list. And you'd send out, you know, postcards to like the kids that were like, you know, coming to your shows and stuff. And you'd always like list like new records that you guys were digging and stuff like that. I thought that was real cool. And you don't see a lot of that happen. It must be hard to manage, you know, as you get bigger.
It is, and also it's like more and more over the years, you just find out that like. Mostly younger, everybody, not just younger people, but everybody just gets their stuff online now, you know?
That's true.
And they don't really, like, our P.O. box, like, people just didn't, you know, and this is going back a ways. I mean, they just weren't, suddenly just boom, there was not as much writing, and you got a lot more stuff through the website, or
right.
people on tour wanted to ask you for, they didn't ask for addresses, they're asking for email addresses.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So that's how they get most of their info. So it's kind of a waste to send out postcards, and, you know, and it's just, you know, it's kind of... doesn't seem to do as much.
Right, I gotcha.
Not that there aren't lots of good records out there that we could tell people about.
Of course not.
Well, if anything, it's easier for them to check it out now.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Just
steal it.
Yeah. Essentially.
But I mean, if they like it, they could go buy it then.
Right. And I think a lot of them do, which I think is what's sort of like the big misconception about what's going on now. You know, everybody thinks that
I steal a lot of music.
Right.
But if you make a good record, I'll buy it.
Right, exactly.
You know, if you don't, I'll be glad I stole it, you know.
To the wrong plan. Yeah, the ego recoil breaks equally. Major, minor, the unviable plan. You can't get new bricks on a plant. Yeah, now science of the war.
another day. That's not what you told me on. The same old answers and the same old questions. Nothing to do about.
We never felt like we fit into any of the garage
right.
scene, really. Like Eric said before, we were, you know, too fast, and you know we didn't fall into like the kind of garage purist thing that was going on,
right.
You know, and then you know punk kids liked us, and then you know some kids would be kind of turned off by the fact that we didn't have mohawks and stuff like that, but eventually they got used to, you know, the fact that we were just kind of normal looking guys or whatever,
right.
But, you know, and that we were more rock, you know, a rock and roll band than a punk band or a hardcore band or a garage band, you know, so.
Which is nice. Imagine you free yourself up to do whatever
yeah,
you want
yeah.
considerably I mean, with those kind of cards on the table.
Right. But, yeah, as far as the garage scene in the mid-90s or whatever, it just, you know, it was one of those things. It was like, what, the fourth garage revival or something
yeah,
like
and
that, you know,
it's
at
a
the
little,
time.
You know, which
that,
one are
like,
we in?
Yeah. Now it's just kind of weird. I never thought that garage bands would be big, you know, that you'd have like the Mooney Suzuki getting signed by a major, you know, a band that sounds like that or the Greenhorns or whatever that are
right.
totally like sound like, you know, pretty rote 60s music,
mm-hmm.
you know, they you know, getting popular now, you know, I think, you know, the Hives and the White Stripes and, you know, I think those bands are, you know, as garage bands or whatever, add something new to the music, you know, and I think that's kind of what's going to propel any kind of new scene or whatever.
But sure.
It's going to get weird. I mean, there's Nike commercials now, you know, with garage music, so
yeah,
so I never thought I would have seen that, you know. I mean, we've already seen one with, you know, the Stooges.
Right. Well, I didn't, as far as, you know, this is just, you know, my perspective as somebody who's been listening to you guys for a long time. It seems like, to me, like the whole, like, longevity thing. I mean, obviously you keep doing it because you enjoy it, but, I mean, you guys just have a live show that just can't be matched. Like, I've never seen anybody come close to it.
Thanks.
It was it's wild, and that's the reason that, you know, I've kept going back to the shows. You know, I always make it a point to swing by Maxwell's every time you guys have played.
Thanks.
And you brought in a lot, and we could always count on you guys bringing cool bands in with you, because I know it was important to you bringing other bands in. You know, I remember you guys brought Gaunt in to Maxwell's like a long time ago. You know, who had a huge you know, impression on me and a lot of other people in New York. They're a really big deal around here, and Teen Generate and all those other bands going back.
Yeah.
It's been cool. We've been able to tour.
Get a little closer there.
Some of our favorite bands like Super Suckers and Teen Generate and a bunch of shows with the Digits and Gaza Strippers and
right.
Devil Dogs and a bunch of our favorite bands. And it just turned out if you can get them on a bill or you can hook up some shows, you know, it makes sense. It just makes the whole night more fun, and to help out bands that you feel are like a similar kind of, you know, brethren sound or whatever, you know, you just... You know,
it would definitely help them out too, because they'd come back and headline the next, you know, a couple months later, and there'd be people there.
And in Columbus too, I remember when Jim and I were just trying to get a band going, it seemed like all the local bands would just play with their same friend's band like every time they played, and you
right.
knew exactly who was going to play with who, and it was kind of boring. It was like we knew bands from Cleveland or whatever who might want to have a show. And part of it was like, besides getting the free beer and having something to do, it was like, let's get a friend's band on there from out of town that needs a show or whatever, and always try to bring in someone different and not always play with the, I mean, we play with Gaunt a lot and a few other Columbus bands, but you make sure to put another band on there that
sure.
maybe people haven't seen or whatever. You know?
Yeah, we were really trying to get a few bands to come to the East Coast with us. We did the West Coast with Demons, which was like, you know, a Gearhead hookup.
Right.
But we've known them for a while. We were trying to get the Dishes out here and some, you know, some other bands like that, you know, just, but it never, you know, there was like schedule conflicts and stuff. But yeah, we always try and bring, you know, friends, bands that we think are good, you know.
This time of year is crazy.
You know?
I mean, out West, out East too, it's like every town you're in, there's like 2, 3, 4 other shows that night, you know. So many people touring right now, so right. which is kind of cool. So a lot of bands were already touring, so we're just kind of on this East Coast thing. After the Snakes, we're just kind of seeing whatever the clubs want to get on the bill is cool with us.
So. Right on. Do you guys see, you're just talking about like the bands back home a minute ago. I was curious, do you guys see yourself fitting into this? I mean, maybe it seems weird, you know, for you guys being from Ohio, but like for the rest of us, not the rest of us, but you know, some people like me, you know, like it's very, yeah, there's you and there's me. It seems kind of weird, you know, like we really, I kind of like looked at Ohio and I've built it up in my mind as like this grand sense of like this great like tradition of bands, you know,
it's
really, it is, see, you're right. I mean, there's no fooling around, you know, and it's, I mean, do you guys see yourself fitting into a part of that? I mean, you've had people who've been documenting stuff there for a long time and doing a great job of it, you know, going all the way back to, you know, the Electric Eels and the Styrenes and that kind of stuff. And like, you know, the Kleepunk thing and all that. It just seems like you've always had people who were being really careful to document it. And and make sure that kids and that new people would be able to find out about it.
It was important for you know, like bands from Cleveland and Akron and stuff. Like, I think the lore of those bands kind of lived on in Cleveland and Akron, you know, because, you know, you're always hearing about the New York scene. You're always hearing about the West Coast scene and things like that. And, you know, there was a lot of great bands in Cleveland and Akron in the 70s. And,
right.
You know, and yeah, I think... That's who we looked up to, even in the, you know, in the 80s with you know, Death of Samantha and Prison Shake,
sure.
and we'd see them all the time. You know, like we kind of felt like we were, you know, we wanted to at least be as good as them. You know, like,
right, right.
Like, well, we were happy with our records, like you know, selling 1,000 and showing up in bargain bins. You know?
Right.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who work on the Klee site, the kleepunk.com, which is a good
site. It's a great website. It's a great resource.
It's very fun, but a lot of those guys, it's like if you don't get out of Cleveland or you don't get out of Ohio, then you just tend to totally immerse yourself in what you're in.
Well, some of them came here.
You know,
Styrenes and you know those guys living up here now. They just played a big benefit for us a couple of weeks ago with the ESG out in Brooklyn, which was great.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got John Morton playing with them now, which is a dynamite.
Wow.
It was real great.
But you learn about, like, I mean, I always tell this story, but it's like when I grew up seeing Death of Samantha or My Dad is Dead or whatever, it was like, I thought these were, or the Mice, I thought these were really great bands that were just never going to go anywhere probably. And it just kind of made you think about, well, just do it for, and Skrull too. When we got down to Columbus, Skrull and the Gibson Brothers and Great Plains. And it was like, well, these are bands that are just doing it for fun, pretty much knowing they're kind of weird music. And maybe depending on where they, unless they want to move to a bigger city, they're not going to get a lot of notice. And so you just end up learning just kind of by osmosis without even really planning or thinking about it. You just do it for the hell of it, for fun, to play. And if anything else happens, it's always kind of a surprise for most Ohio bands. Until you put out a few records and then, you know, you plan things more. But I don't know. Yeah, it's just one of those things. But even growing up in Cleveland, it was hard to find Pagans and Dead Boys records and stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's still, even up there, it's weirdo music or whatever.
But and you only hear them now, on radio, too.
Yeah, yeah, college radio was great in Cleveland, and it still is. And only, really, only within the last 5-6 years has the press in Cleveland kind of suddenly realized that, oh, there's this
something's
sort of
been happening for the last like 30 years now.
Cleveland bands, you know. And there's even, of course, fighting in between those Cleveland bands. Like, the Dead Boy guys think that the Electric Eels couldn't play and were and there's all these funny, you know, arguments between bands.
Well, yeah, we saw Jimmy Zero at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for a reading of Please Kill Me,
yeah.
Where he was ripping on the Velvets to the Voidoids book,
right.
You know, and saying, you know, don't believe what that thing says. You know, that guy's talking about the Electric Eels. They weren't anything, you know, Rocket from the Tombs, they weren't anything. You know,
right.
it was like, settle down, man.
Everybody's
you know,
their,
like, you know, they're not selling a lot of records, you know.
Everybody's got their own version of history, I guess.
Right, and, right.
Want to make sure there's the one that gets written.
I do think Ohio is like... It is kind of in the middle in a way. It's not completely middle of nowhere, Iowa or Kansas or something. You get things that filter in from Pittsburgh, Philly, New York, Detroit, Cleveland, down when we're down in Columbus. You get things that filter into Ohio. So it's not like the middle of nowhere, but it's also not a really expensive, big, kind of super rushed, huge, big city like Chicago, New York,
sure.
L.A., whatever. So it does kind of create a kind of, for some reason over the years, just... a good environment for coming up with sort of wacky noise, you know, guided by voices. And
well, that's the thing that's real nice about it is that, you know, again, from, you know,
well, yeah, all the bands are different. That's
yeah,
the
exactly.
Thing,
there's,
you know?
There's not a sound. I mean, there's an aesthetic, you know, if quality is, you know, or good is an aesthetic,
yeah,
you know, but,
yeah.
But it's
that's
not
a good aesthetic.
Yeah. I mean, not that there's not crappy bands, you know, every town's got crappy bands, but it's, you know, it's just, it's nice that, you know, there was like a whole little kind of network of labels down there too, you know, back, you know, 10 years ago, you know, Anyway, Data Panic and all those guys and,
yeah.
And doing stuff. And you knew, like, I mean, they would put out bands that I'd never hear, but I would see their name on it and think that, like, I probably want to hear this.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, all the bands are different. They didn't all, you know, cite Gang of Four as an influence.
Which is the most popular influence there is now, I think.
Oh, yeah. We saw some drummers needed flyers in Brooklyn.
Well, you know, you go out there and you're going to see that.
Yeah. Gang of 4,000.
Like, we would play out with, like, this band Greenhorn, who was before Greenhorns. There was Greenhorn, and they were like a kind of, I don't know, Neil Young-ish. I guess you could say sort of grungy, but not really. They were just like kind of big
more
rock.
Really.
Yeah, you know, big kind of rock thing. We would play with them and Eric's mother, who were sort of a noisy butthole surfer style thing. And you just played with them. There wasn't necessarily this feeling that you had to play with similar style bands because there's only so many bands that go around. You know,
right.
There aren't like 400 bands and so you pick the 20 that all have similar sounds and you make a little scene or whatever and you only go to their shows. You go to shows of the different bands and check them out at least, you know.
I think that's why it's so disappointing. A lot of times when we go on the road and we don't have a band that's traveling with us and the local promoter will just book the band that, you know, most likely would play with us as much like a band that kind of sounds like us, you know?
They don't get that right usually.
Yeah, and so we end up playing with like just crap punk rock. But, well, I shouldn't say that. Yeah. That's mean. But I mean, but most of the time we get booked with bands that are, you know, playing fast punk rock.
Right.
And it's, I don't want to listen to that, you know,
right, exactly,
before I play.
You know, something else that
bars just think that way. They think that, well, that's what people go to see or want to hear. And that band might actually be a fan. They might want to play or whatever, and that's cool. But, it's kind of more interesting when, you know, it's something very different.
Right. I gotcha.
It's like I was saying years ago.
Get a little closer there.
Years ago when we used to tour and, every opening band every opening band was like a hardcore band. And now years later, especially in Europe, you know, now every band is either helicopter style or
Turbo
Negro
style.
You know, whatever that means.
It's nice also, I've noticed, you know, from years of seeing you guys, I've always noticed that one thing that I can always count on when I see you is that you guys are always checking out the opening bands, which you don't see a lot of. I always see y'all right up front, you know, at least, you know, checking them out, even if you don't stay for the whole thing.
It always bothers me when, you know, I mean, we've been on a few like kind of bigger, you know, like kind of big tours, like where all the bands are great and it's like, and people just don't check out the other bands or don't care that, you know, it's always weird to me. I mean, I'm a music fan first.
That's very obvious in what you guys do.
You never know, like this band, the Love and Veins that we were talking about, you know, you never know and you might walk out there and see a band that's pretty good and they don't have a clue about how to get a record or a demo tape out or anything.
Right.
And you're never going to see them again. But I mean, you know, if you do 20 shows in a row sometimes or whatever, you're going to, you know, some nights you're just, you know, you're tired and, you know, your ears and whatever. So sometimes you just kick backstage. But for the most part, you at least try to go out and watch a couple of songs, see what they're about, you know, because you never know when you might come across something that you really dig, you know, so.
Dark and lonely old night. My mane's squeezing me. Well, we got in a fight. Rattle, rattle, something stupid. It's not the deal. I was about to be right. I just had to, oh, I had to get out in that. We'll be right back.
want to thank you guys again for swinging by here by the WFMU studios. It's been too long. You know, this has been a long time in the coming. From what I understand, you know, people have been wanting to get you down here, and I know you guys have had an interest in playing here for a while. I'm glad it's been able to happen. As I said before, you know, I was commenting to Chris, who engineered tonight. As soon as I got on the air here, my first order of business was like, check out when you guys were touring, because I really wanted to get you down here. So it was a
It's a great station, and you know, we're glad to do it. So
I want to say hi to Garvey and Annie and Tom and Maria. Okay.
And you guys have newbombturks.com, right? People can go there for.
We might have an update coming up within the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. We'll see about that.
And if you do actually want to write, sit down and use a pen. You can write to P.O. Box 82192, Columbus, Ohio 43202. So if you want to write us, you can write us there, and that'd be nice too.
All right, there it is. All right, guys, thanks again.
Thanks for coming down. Keep it up, you know, good station and all that stuff.
We'll do what we can.
All right.
So long.